Welcome back now. 6 minutes past five. This is Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Constance. So let's talk about rape. Yeah, not just rape, right? More like tackling it. Tackling prevalence of rape cases in Rivers State. So there's a recent study that showed that rape is the most common violence against women and children in Okrika, local government area of Rivers State. Now, this study was actually carried out in five communities in the local government area, and it was facilitated by Community Resource Development Foundation, CREDEF. All right, joining me for this conversation on how do we tackle the prevalence of rape cases in Rivers State? How do we stop rape in Rivers State? It's gender advocate Iyingi Irimaga. She joins me via the telephone. Hello, Iyingi. You're welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Constance.
All right. You're welcome. Okay, so I've just checked and we have just... our time is really short, so let's run. So first of all, why does the act of rape persist in our society? Of course, I'm sure that we have laws and we have security agencies. We have stakeholders whose job it is to ensure that perpetrators face the law. How come we still have this act ongoing in our society?
You have just said we have laws. You have said we have stakeholders who are responsible for addressing the issue of rape or the crime of rape. So if they are there, if the laws are there, it means that to a certain extent, the laws are not active and the stakeholders who are responsible to cater for, you know, the issue of rape or the crime of rape are also not actively, you know, doing their jobs. This is what it means. So the issue of rape, because it's very, very pervasive, it's a very intimate and pervasive crime, it's somehow a taboo issue, a taboo topic where many people don't even like to talk about it, and many survivors don't even want to report it because of the nature of the pervasive nature of rape. So I think that is also one thing that leads to the low reporting. People don't want to report or talk about rape. And then the fact that, you know, there's very low arrest, prosecution, there's very, very low, you know, arrest and prosecution too. That's another thing. There's nothing legally deterring people from committing the crime of rape. So that is why I think it remains prevalent and, you know, nothing is deterring it. The survivors and victims don't get any kind of legal redress. So it's just a crime that, you know, goes and it keeps soaring higher and higher, especially in disadvantaged communities, especially among disadvantaged population, especially amongst children. You know, for a child, you really need to prove, except the rape causes severe bodily harm. You might not know, because most of the people that predate on children, the rapists that predate on children, threaten them, tell them, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you, or, you know, that kind of situation. So they don't even come out to report these horrible rape crimes committed against children. So there's so many factors, so many things that make rape prevalent, and there's also so many things that is not, that the state is not doing, the police is not doing, the relevant stakeholders are not doing to deter criminals from committing the crime of rape.
All right. This report, this recent study that shows that rape is the most common violence against women and children in Okrika, local government area, help us understand the implications of such a report in a society or even in a community.
Well, I think the report that was done in Okrika, I don't think it's an isolated thing. I don't think it's in a case of Okrika people are raping their women or their children. I just think that what you see in Okrika, you're going to see in Andoni, you're going to see in Boni, you're going to see in other local government areas and across Nigeria, because the prevalence of rape is high across Nigeria because of the factors that we've mentioned earlier. You know, lack of legal redress, and prosecution of rape. But I think that in our local communities outside our capital cities, it seems as if the law is a little bit, you know, reduced in those communities, probably because there's increased poverty, there's an increased illiteracy, awareness is small, it's not as high as it is in our city centers. And then, of course, media conversations like this that we're having doesn't necessarily penetrate into those local communities or even among the people that are most vulnerable to rape. So you see that it's something that occurs, and young children, especially young girls, are being targeted in in environments where they should be safe, in your community, in your school, you know. And, you know, in these local communities, people don't necessarily use public transport. You're walking, you're trekking, you're going to the farm, you're going to school. And it's very, very easy to isolate a young girl or a young child and sexually abuse her. And sometimes when they target one child and they rape her, and nothing happens, that girl becomes a target for other rapists, because these men communicate among themselves. So they'll be like, oh, I have actually, you know, raped that girl, and she becomes an easy target. And once a young girl is raped and she is not rehabilitated, she doesn't have any counseling, nothing happens to her, the way she processes the event that happened to her can lead to her, you know, increasing her risky behavior. She might start, you know, maybe going into alcoholism, maybe she'll start having multiple sexual partners. And that's where we now start saying, oh, these young girls in communities are spoiled. But we don't even ask when they got introduced, how and when they got introduced into sexual activity, or when they got their first sexual experience. Many of these girls got introduced through rape, through coercion, and through threats, and all of them is rape. So you see that it increases. And then if you even check, I know I remember I was in your station once and we talked about teenage pregnancies. The high prevalence of teenage pregnancies in our communities is also linked, can be directly linked to the incidence of rape that goes underreported, you know. So these are some of the factors. And then the outrage that you get from rape, for example, in Port Harcourt, is different from the outrage you get from rape in the community. Because here, lots of civil society organizations are here, the media is here. Once there's an incident of rape, it can be escalated. We'll talk on radio as we're talking now. But in the community, the family, you know, the community level, rape is all just seen as a taboo. They don't look at it as a crime committed against the child or the woman. It's like a taboo. You know, the level of victim blaming is still there. The level of secrecy around it is still there. So they don't even see the police as the right persons to go to. Many of them will go to the chemist just to treat my child and keep quiet because he wants to hide it. Many will go to the community leader if it escalates to that point. And sometimes these community leaders might not necessarily know how to manage the situation, or might not want to call the police because of the relationship they have with the criminal that committed the rape crime. So they go into the alternative dispute management that is even more harmful to the survivor or the victim of the rape. So we need to be able to expand this conversation, do more sensitization at the community level for family members to understand the implication of rape, because there's a high level of a prevalence of HIV and AIDS in some of these communities. I don't know about Africa, but I know HIV and AIDS is high in Boni. I know it is high in Ogoni, one of the Ogoni LGAs. I know it's high in some of these communities. So if you are not handling rape the right way, it means that most of these young girls that are raped might be susceptible to contracting HIV and AIDS. You know, when a child or a woman is raped, there are treatment that they can give within the first 72 hours that can prevent pregnancy, that can prevent the survival of rape getting some of these STIs like HIV and the rest. So if they don't go through that process, through that counseling, and then of course if the perpetrators of the rape, they are not prosecuted, arrested, it's just so much that the survivor has to deal with, and then has to also deal with the possibility of getting pregnant because you did not get the right treatment. So it's quite pervasive. I know of a girl that we met in, I think, Ogoni. She was 13 at the time. She met me personally and told me that she thinks she's pregnant and she wants an abortion. And for a 13-year-old, old girl talking to me about she's thinking she's starting an abortion. I had to start asking her questions. And she told me of how she was raped, I think, a year before. And her uncle, she was raped when she was 12. Her uncle, she got pregnant from the process. And her uncle took her to get an abortion. So after that initial rape that she had, she now started engaging in sexual activity by herself. And then now she knows that she's pregnant as a 13-year-old girl. And she thinks that the solution to the pregnancy now is to have an abortion. So you see girls are living in this kind of, you know, very critical conditions and situation where we would just leave them, these young girls in these communities are bad. We don't know what they had gone through in the past, and they've been neglected. They have faced the trauma of rape and the consequences alone, and now they are making choices by themselves based on their own experience or based on the fallout of the experience of rape. So I think there is a lot that the government needs to do, civil society organizations need to do. We have the Ministry of Social Welfare. The Ministry of Social Welfare manages the issue of children. So at least they should be able to cater for, they should be able to communicate with the police across all our communities and LGAs. They have the officers across our LGAs. They need to step down this conversation of rape so that at least, you know, when you're talking about how rape is a crime, it's already a deterrent, first of all. If you're talking about how the police in these communities or in these local government areas have been trained on how to manage rape and how to address rape situations, it's already a deterrent. So we need to deepen this conversation to our local communities so that they know that rape is a crime, because many of them don't know it's a crime because they get away with it. If you're doing something and getting away with it, it means that it's not necessarily a crime to you. Your perception of what you're doing is not a crime because you get away with it. So the conversation of ensuring that you understand that rape is a crime and there should be legal consequences, and the stakeholders, the police as the first responders at the local government level will take up the responsibility to arrest and formal prostitution, is something that is very important that the Ministry of Social Welfare, the media, civil society, and the government, including the police itself, these are the things that they need to do to ensure that, you know, we reduce the prevalence of rape across the state.
Okay, let's talk about the leadership of communities. How can they bring to an end this barbaric act in their areas?
Well,
community leaders.
They need to have that conversation at that community level. They need to talk, you know, they need to prioritize it. They need to pull in their stakeholders together, your community leaders, your youth leaders, your political leaders, the chairman, the chiefs, the king's wives, the chief's wives. I think from time to time they need to talk about it. I know of some communities that actually tell you that they have zero tolerance. Once there's a rape issue, they take it personally, but it's only when the case is reported. So, and then I also think that, you know, in their mechanisms to address the crime of rape, they should not just leave it within themselves, because the law provides for the issue of rape across board. They should be able to know what kind of cases they can mediate upon and the kind of cases they need to report to the police. When it comes to rape, they must report to the police, because we have the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act that has been signed into law in Rivers State that caters for rape, whether it is the rape of a boy or a girl or whoever, male or female. So while they are addressing the issue of rape, they should understand that once a case of rape is reported or they hear, they must call in the police. Because without legal redress, this thing is going to continue. The community leaders can intervene. Sometimes I know they might flog, you know, the person that committed the rape crime, but flogging is not in the law. The law says you have to be prosecuted. We are talking about life imprisonment, 12 years imprisonment for the case of rape. I know there's a rape case now, very, very hot one in Anambra, Oka, where a Kekenapet fellow, a man, was raped by three or four young boys. So, you know, when is a man that is raped in this manner? It shakes everywhere. They are transferring the case to the state CID in Oka. You know, they are taking it very seriously. The commissioner of police is on the case. But you have several girls who have been raped over time, and it doesn't get to that top point because there's almost as if there's a consensus on the fact that women can be raped or girls can be raped, and it's normal because somehow we tend to blame the victim. We tend to blame the victim. But when a man is raped, everybody is, you know, so it's as if we are desensitized when it's a woman, but our sensitivity is heightened when a man is raped. So I saw the report of the Oka rape today, and I was like, if only we can treat the rape of women and girls the way they are treating this Oka case where a Keke Napep man was raped by three boys, I'm sure the issue of rape will reduce in Nigeria. So I think that we need to understand, we need to make people understand the severity of rape. Our community members should address it. They must always call in the police so that everybody is aware that rape against a child, a female child or a woman, is a crime that the police, that the law needs to, you know, take its course on.
Okay, let's talk about families now. I was just thinking to myself, if families can come together and discuss stuff like, you know, maybe bride price, burial arrangements, things like that, perhaps they could also have discussions that is geared towards deterring the men in their circle from bringing shame to the family. What do you think?
Exactly. I saw a post somebody made within this 16 days of activism that just ended on the 10th of December. Somebody, you know, used the statistic. They said
one in every three women.
Exactly. And, you know, we talk about the numbers of women raped without talking about the numbers of the perpetrators attached to these numbers of women raped. So it means that if three in every five women or girls have been raped or sexually assaulted, it means that three in every five men have committed that same crime. So the conspiracy of silence within families, within the male folk, is also another thing that is making the issue of rape very, very prevalent, because, you know, there must be men out there that know that their friends, their brothers have raped somebody, and you're condoning it. There must be families out there that have managed to fight to protect their son, their father, you know, from the rape that their father or their son or their brother has committed. And you know, most of these things, I'm not saying that it's bad to defend your person that has committed a crime in the law, because everybody has, you know, you're supposed to protect your rights. You're supposed to get your lawyer even if you committed a rape crime. I'm saying is that they defend even before it goes to court. They are the ones that prevent the case from going to court. They are the ones that will pay the police very big money to end and squash, you know, a rape case at that police station level. So I think families should stop doing that.
Okay.
Families should stop. They should understand that if your brother, your son, or whoever has committed a crime, you protected, illegally protected that person, doesn't change the fact that one day that person might travel abroad or commit a crime, a rape crime, in the process that maybe he might get lynched. Maybe the person, the family that he goes and rapes their daughter might not be that forgiving. Or might be so vengeful that they will come back and attack the entire family, like we saw in the Bible when I think David's daughter was raped. So we should allow the law take its course. If
All
you
right.
want to defend your brother, your uncle, your family member who raped somebody, defend the person by getting the person a lawyer instead of subverting the law by bribing, threatening, and coercing the family of the survivor to end the case. Because I think family members sometimes push that agenda. That is why the police is even supporting the squashing these cases at the counter.
All right, Tiringi, we have to wrap up now. Time has really caught up with us. We have this very long commercials coming up now. Thank you very much for being on the show with me this evening.
All right, thank you for having me.